this is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor at Directions Magazine. This week, Directions Media will be bringing you a series of podcasts from the ESRI User Conference in San Diego, California. To begin with, I have a conversation with our editor-in-chief, Joe Francica, about his experience at the User Conference's Senior Executive Seminar, which was held on Sunday, August 6th. Now, that's an event that many of our readers and listeners may not have heard of, and that's in part because it's an invitation-only event. And the way ESRI describes it is this way. The Senior Executive Leadership Seminar is for corporate-level executives and top managers who direct geospatial activities, strategic planning, or policy development related to geographic data initiatives and partnerships. So this is really a different sort of audience than the technical users that many of us, into which group many of us would consider we fall. So Joe, what's your sense of who this group is and what they're trying to get out of this special day before the user conference?
Well, it absolutely is the cream of the crop of managers who have line item responsibility for implementing innovation technology. I'm always thrilled to be at the event because you get the people who are in a high level of decision making and who can express a view and a vision that you don't often hear in the general sessions. These people have a lot of responsibility and for budgets and for implementing the entire technology suite within their department.
So these are really the folks implementing, and I guess if they're at the conference presenting, they've been very successful at implementing an enterprise sort of solution. These aren't small organizations.
They're not. Again, as we'll discuss shortly, these are places like General Motors, the Ordnance Survey, large city and counties. So they have large organizations to manage for which they have found that GS is a great boon to their organization.
Clearly, one of the people that was a hit with you was Mayor Hickenlooper from the city and county of Denver in Colorado.
John Hickenlooper was very articulate in his discussion of how the technology can be used in a variety of different departments. And the way he described it when he got into the city was that there are many islands of automation. We've heard that description before. What he's trying to do is bridge the technology gap between departments and implement an enterprise-wide approach using a central geodatabase and then allow individual departments to take responsibility for how they utilize the data. So he was very forthcoming with how he viewed GIS and the benefits that it's bringing to the city and county.
Now, did he have, it's rare for a mayor to have that sort of insight necessarily. Is there some reason that he had some special insight?
Well, he's a self-described recuperating exploration geologist, so he has an appreciation of maps and map technology.
So what do you think? Are mayors, sort of the next group of leaders that are going to help GIS get implemented? Mayors aren't a group we generally hear that much about.
We don't, but his vision is certainly that way. He feels that it's got to be at this level of local government where GIS has to take root and be a fundamental change agent for the way you manage local city service.
Great. So it sounds like he's looking to be, or ESRI hopes that he will be a role model for that group.
Yeah, I think so. And as I've mentioned in our blog, he was named by Time Magazine as one of the top five large city mayors, and you can see why.
Great. And I see you had another mayor there. That's Jerry Sanders, the mayor of San Diego.
Yes, he came and welcomed the group and expressed his appreciation for them being here and looking forward to ESRI being in San Diego until 2015.
That's a lot of years, and I guess he's excited because all those ESRI users bring a lot of investment in his city.
Absolutely, and once again, the ESRI UC is very crowded. It's lots of people here, and to Jerry Sanders, it means $46 million in overall economic activity, and in particular, $1 million in tax revenue.
Great. So this is a win-win for ESRI and the city of San Diego.
Absolutely.
And I understand that Vanessa Lawrence from the Ordnance Survey was there as well.
Yeah, Vanessa has been back for this year and has been here for a number of years. And I know we both know Vanessa from many years ago from her time in the private sector. She's done just a remarkable job at the Ordnance Survey, simply transformed the entire organization to be digital thinking and really managed from the top down by articulating a vision that her people bought into. She did some different things that nobody else had done before her. In fact, she was challenged by her organization and people telling her that you can't do that. And she said, why? And why not? And it was a breath of fresh air through the entire organization. And she continues to do a remarkable job. Really, kudos to her. What a great asset to the UK.
Right, and I understand the big discussion involving the Ordnance Survey and data is different ways to get access. There's always been challenges that it costs too much and people can't get access. Did you have anything to say about that?
Yes, and of course, as we know, the UK has a cost recovery model for data. They do charge an awful lot of money to receive an Ordnance Survey database. But she hinted at things to come that will change, especially for those people who are entrepreneurs, just want a small slice of geoinformation to use in their applications. And she's certainly well aware of being able to service those types of people who are doing mashups and trying to have an entrepreneurial vision for geospatial data.
Great. Okay, so something to look forward to. Keep an eye on the Ordnance Survey. And Richard Steer was there from General Motors. How is he using GIS at General Motors?
Well, Steer was representing the dealership network. He's VP over the entire division. As you realize, they have thousands of dealerships across the United States and the world. And they are a tremendous asset for General Motors. Now, he also understands that location is a huge deal for dealerships, and went about discussing how decisions are made in either staying in a location, relocating, and looking at the demographics of particular, make sure that the locations are optimal for maximizing sales. He's well aware of how GIS can benefit the entire company.
Great. And the other industry that was represented there was the insurance industry. That was Graham Healy with Royal and Sun Alliance out of the UK. And what I always found interesting about insurance, and it's always one of those big sectors, and MapInfo actually is a prime mover in that space, why does it seem like it's taken so long to use GIS in risk analysis and prediction and management?
Right. I asked him specifically that question after the presentation, and he believes to some degree it's institutional, and that they've always been a bit risk-averse, believe it or not, in the industry, a little slow to change and adapt to new technologies. They fully realize that they don't make a move without understanding the geographic phenomena. I think that what had happened in the company is that as a result of a merger, certain expertise was brought to them. This allowed them to explore different modeling techniques, in particular in the area of flood risk. And so now, because this is a major issue in the UK, he was allowed to get some funding to push that a bit further, and now is looking at a variety of other applications in which to model for making sure that policies that they underwrite are done efficiently and that they're not overly exposed.
Right. So it sounds like once GIS sort of was successful in a small project or in a particular area, the company was able to leverage that to other domains.
Right. And so what's happening now in his company is that he can not only look at the exposure to risk in one area, just say flood, but now across the entire portfolio, crime, traffic accidents. So he knows at this point what his entire exposure is across the portfolio of insurance products that he offers. And he's now very aware of the benefits that is afforded to his company.
Great. And I guess there's big news from Harvard, from Peter Bohl.
Right. So there's a new center of geographic analysis that was established in March. And we were treated to an interesting video that Peter brought when Larry Summers, the president of Harvard, opened the center. And Dr. Bowles really expressed the fact that Summers got it, and it wasn't without some push from lower levels of a number of professors coming to him and to the provost to push forth the idea that geography is really significant and that a Center for Geographic Analysis is absolutely needed, especially coming from a long history of having ignored geography. The department was closed back in 1948, so Harvard's been without a geographic emphasis for many years.
Now does Bohl himself have a special way to look at this, or how does he see sort of geography fitting in today's academic and world environment?
Well, he is trying to promote a cross-disciplinary approach to using the technology. He himself isn't a geographer. I believe he said his background was in Asian cultures. So together with a number of professors from a variety of departments, they're trying to promote an interdisciplinary approach to using the technology. Again, a new way of communicating information in the social sciences as well as the physical science.
Well, great. It's very exciting to see Harvard back on the geography map, and it sounds like with that sort of vision, it could, again, be a leader, and we may see other centers like this, you know, popping up across public and private institutions.
Yes, I hope we do.
My name is Adina Schutzberg. Thank you for joining us. Our music today is from musician and graphic artist Owen Bairn. You can reach him at bairnworks.com. That's bairnworks.com. You can reach us via directionsmag.com. Thank you for joining us for the podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.